Hey gang, welcome to yet another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the fourth National Bugle Radio show I've recorded today. Wow, sometimes I get a little ahead of schedule. And then there's the one sitting, it's sitting in the archives, well, not in the archives, it's sitting ready to go, one with William Repelum, which I was supposed to play on Friday, but technical difficulties. Fortunately, that is a timeless one, which will never grow stale, and I will play that at some point. But today is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show, as soon as I get done with the show. Hey, what is RBN like?
It's definitely the sauna of free speech. It's the Irish pub of free speech, since we're about a week away from St. Paddy's Day.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing a St. Paddy's Day special?
Yeah, I'm going to have William with me on that day, so yeah, we'll probably... I'll throw some St. Paddy's in with that. I don't know, what would RBN be like in today's climate, this week? It's where you can go to escape the mass formation psychosis that is enveloping the globe right now. Because we have the true news and the real news and the red hot takes.
Okay, that's good. And how do people support that place?
You can make a check or money order payable to RBN and send it to Public Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call that in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3 with your debit or credit card. And PayPal is good as always. Many ways to support, no excuses. Put your money here. It's the best investment. It's better than crypto.
All right. And then also, what if people want to live a non-kosher certified lifestyle? What can they do?
I mean, I think you can go to nationalbugle.com and get the kosher-tified app. Can they afford it?
For less than the price of a gallon of gas, they can load up on them.
You can get like five of them for the price of a gallon of gas.
That is right.
Can you afford not to get the kosher-tified app?
No, you can't. You cannot afford not to get it. You have to get it. Okay, hey, here's something. You're speaking of mass psychosis and whatnot. So the head of the Chechen Republic is one Ramzan Kadyrov. And he's somebody who's rather outspoken. And it was the Japanese government announced, I guess, earlier today or yesterday, that they were imposing sanctions on Russian citizens. We're talking about, you know, it's like free season on Russian citizens. And so he was amongst the people who are being sanctioned by Japan. And if I may, I'm just going to read his statement, okay? I have just begun to understand the cheap policy of the states, meaning the United States and their European minions, who, in order to demonstrate vigorous activity, impose sanctions and freeze my non-existent bank accounts. But Japan? A country with centuries-old traditions of morality and noble behavior, Bushido, which has always stood apart from the whole world. Suddenly, Japan suddenly caved in under Europe? I really wonder how such seemingly smart people suddenly went astray and froze my assets, which I never had in Japan. Most likely, in addition to the ban on my financial activities, I am now forbidden to watch anime and enjoy cherry blossoms. I will go into the ranks of the ninja, and I will do it in secret. Oh, and the ninja is now impossible. I simply must take exactly the same retaliatory measures. From now on, the leadership of Japan cannot set foot on Chechen soil. except for two places, mental hospitals and the villages of Brugany and Samashki, which I know nothing about. But anyway, he continues, I am not a monster to deprive them of the necessary treatment. Okay, so they can come to their mental hospitals. All their property and bank accounts are arrested, will be sold, and the funds will be directed to the development fund of the Kuril Islands, which is the disputed islands that Russia has, or the Soviet Union took at the end of World War II. Anyway, but seriously, you know, I don't care about any sanction of any country. I am afraid only of one thing, to fall under the sanction of the Almighty. I am afraid to spoil relations only with Allah. So there you go. I thought that was
Oh, he's a Muslim?
The Chechens are Muslims.
I didn't know that was a thing.
They're very Caucasian looking, but they are Muslim.
Well, we are in this, what we were discussing leaving off the show last night. You know, Russians are the new Nazis. We covered that article of Canada grounding a charter plane with two Russian nationals on it. And I sort of wanted to go into some history, and I think you can help me out with this. Let's delve back into how German and Japanese people in America were persecuted during World War II.
Well, okay. Okay. Do you have some background on that?
A couple of articles here. Let's see. One from archives.gov. Japanese American incarceration during World War II. So in his speech to Congress, President Franklin Delirious Roosevelt declared that the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 41 was a date which will live in infamy. The attack launched the United States fully into the two theaters of World War II, Europe and the Pacific. Prior to Pearl Harbor, the United States had been involved in non-combat role through the Lend-Lease program that supplied England, China, Russia, and other anti-fascist countries of Europe with munitions. All right. The attack on Pearl Harbor also launched a rash fear about national security, especially on the West Coast. In February of 42, just 2 months later, Roosevelt issued an executive order, 9066, that resulted in the internment of Japanese Americans. The order authorized the Secretary of War and military commanders to evacuate all persons deemed a threat from the West Coast to internment camps that the government called relocation centers further inland. So, I mean, you know, we've heard about these camps where they held Japanese and Germans. Meant very draconian for the 40s. And I'm sort of trying to, you know, draw a parallel to now how everybody's getting this anti-Russian, you know, mindset. Mm-hmm. And there's a no-fly. Basically, what is it? In America and Canada, Russian aircraft aren't allowed to fly. Basically, and so that's where it's starting. But I mean, I don't know. This is pretty intense what they did to the Japanese, and we'll cover the Germans a little bit later in World War II. Actually, an executive order. So apparently, they were just rounding up Japanese people on the West Coast that they thought would be a security threat. I mean, surely they had to be involved in some sort of activity, or were they just rounding them up? Do you know any of this history?
Oh, yeah, I know the history. So, I mean, one thing is Congress had declared war, I guess, on December 8th. They had declared war against Japan. And so now you've got a situation where you've got, on the West Coast, you had Japanese populations, and then in Hawaii. Now, the thing is, in Hawaii, at the time, the Japanese made up like over a third of the population. They were the biggest single ethnic group. So you weren't actually going to be able to round them up in Japan, in Hawaii. But in California, so the worry was, you know, they would go out on the beaches and they would signal to Japanese submarines or something. or conduct some sort of sabotage. Which, like, really, I don't know what they could have done. Maybe they could have done something. But the one thing is, they were, even if they were Japanese Americans, even if they had American citizenship, everybody who was interned, basically they had Japanese citizenship, unless they had specifically gone and renounced their Japanese citizenship to a Japanese consulate office. They had Japanese citizenship, or they were like the minor dependent children of Japanese citizens. That's just the way the citizenship law worked. So, you know, I don't mean to go too easy on Roosevelt, but you had a declaration of war, and then you had a bunch of people, of citizens of the other country. So, whatever. My problem is declaring war on Japan in the first place. That either the United States should have been a neutral country, or, you know, it should have supported, it was supporting the wrong side. But I think the United States should have been a neutral country. So my problem is fighting the war against Japan in the first place. So I don't know. That's my take. Whether it's hot or cold, I don't know.
I've never really delved deep into this, and it's pretty eye-opening. Part of the article shows photographs of different orders posted. Here's an order posting of exclusion in San Francisco, mm-hmm. directing the removal of persons of Japanese ancestry from the first section in San Francisco to be affected by the evacuation, April 4th, 1942. And here's a picture of the order, instructions to all persons of Japanese ancestry from the Western Defense Command and 4th Army Wartime Civil Control Administration. I mean, you know, that's pretty scary, actually. You know, I doubt these people were really involved in any type of terrorism. They probably just were regular Japanese people going about their lives, you know?
Well, if you look at the debate in the mid-1920s, like 1923 or so, on the Immigration Act, and the congressman or senator from California, I remember his speech in Congress, which was written in Professor McDonald's book, Culture of Critique. He has a chapter on the immigration debate. And the California senator, I think it was a senator, was saying, look, we have to stop this immigration because we're going to get all these Japanese people come here, and they're very, it's not that they break laws. They're actually very law abiding and they're smart, but they work hard and they're going to outcompete our people. So that was kind of the rap on them. It wasn't that they're bad people, but actually they're good people and they're going to outcompete our people. And this was, wow. You know, the senator from California saying, this is why we have to shut down immigration, because we're going to get too many nice, hard, you know, law-abiding, smart, hard-working people here. So that was kind of the wrap on the Japanese. But, you know, here's something else. Maybe this is also a cold take. I don't know. But so you had people, and they were, you know, they were running businesses. They were gardeners and whatnot. They were involved in certain industries. And then they were moved off to Idaho and Montana to these camps, which weren't like concentration camps, but they, you know, they wound up losing their businesses and losing their livelihoods, and then they had to go start anew. But being intelligent, hardworking people, they did start anew. Now, but think of the context. You also had just millions and millions of American men, whites and blacks, although the blacks typically weren't put in combat roles, but they were drafted into the army, and 350,000 of them died, and others came back, you know, badly injured. And even the ones who didn't come back badly injured, they also had 3 years of 3 or 4 years of their life where they were taken away from their businesses or their livelihoods. Although they were treated as heroes, and the Japanese were treated as suspects. But anyway, I'm just trying to put it all in context.
There's another interesting photo here in the article. school children pledging allegiance to the flag, to the American flag, in San Francisco at Raphael Well Public School in April 20th of 42. And like 90%, no, wait a minute, 50% of these look like they're Japanese kids. Get a couple of token blacks and some white kids. But, yeah, I mean, it looked like, you know, the Japanese that were here were actually patriotic toward America. Let's see.
Well, you know, the ones in Hawaii, for instance, they were not interned because there's just too many of them. And not only were there no incidents of sabotage that I'm aware of, but also in order to prove their patriotism, they enlisted in the army, went over, there was a big brigade of, I forgot what the, what number of it was, but they went over and fought in Italy and were very highly decorated.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, we talk about, or, you know, people talk about Hitler's camps with the Jews, and they totally gloss over this. The fact that America, you know, took these people that were Japanese and then German and put them in camps. And also, even if the camps were, some camps probably were more humanitarian than others, still,
and the Canadians did too, by the way. But, I mean, looking at Trudeau, that's not a surprise to anybody.
Yeah. But that's just, it's something that, it's really a red pill that you can dish out. A red pill in history that you can dish out when people try to talk about how evil the Germans were. I mean, you know, the Americans were doing the same things and worse, and much worse, especially how they treated the Germans. I actually knew a guy that had, you know, he was an older man, he's dead now, but his father was a American guard in one of these German internment camps, and they would just, he bragged about it. He's like, we would shoot these Nazis. We would shoot them. And just kill them and torture them. Really bad stuff going on in these camps. So, yeah, scrolling through the article, there's a lot of good history here and a lot of good photographs of events. So, again, this is archives.gov. And let's see, the article read, Japanese-American Incarceration, World War II. So, I was just drawing a parallel to how people are viewing Russians now and how this is sort of a, you know, sort of a thing.
Yeah. Now, the Germans, we got about a minute or so before the break, but the Germans by the 1940s, Germans were probably the largest single ethnic group in America, more than, say, the English founding stock, the British founding stock. There was a lot of German immigration to the United States in the 1800s and early 1900s. And so, I mean, and even Eisenhower, I mean, the commander, right? What General Eisenhower, even he's German. So what do you have on the Germans? 30 seconds before we go to break.
Yeah, it's actually an article that I had put on Wiki, and it's under Nazi concentration camps. No, that's for Germany. We'll probably have to go to the break and all.
Okay, let's go to the break. We'll be right back.
Everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number, hadn't checked it.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
We are back. Right now we're talking about the treatment of German Americans during World War II. So what do you have on it?
During World War II, the United States detained at least 11,000 ethnic Germans who were overwhelmingly German nationalists. The government examined the cases of German nationalists individually and detained relatively few in internment camps run by the Department of Justice, as related to its responsibilities under the Alien Enemies Act. So that's something that we can explore, the Alien Enemies Act. Mm-hmm. What do you got on that before I read on?
Well, I mean, the Alien Enemies Act, I don't have much on it. What I do have is, you know, at the time, the population of America was probably about 160 million, about half what it is now. And, you know, close to 90% white. So you're talking about, you know, 140 million or so white people. At the way they break down, the Germans easily could have been 40 or 50 million.
Yeah.
There's just an awful lot of Germans. And here's one last thing, and this is a little bit of an aside. You know, Angela Merkel, she spent 15 years trying to bring in as many foreigners into Germany as she could because she didn't like Germans. And Otto von Bismarck, when he was Chancellor of Germany, because Germany was poor and it was overpopulated, the Germans were moving, they were immigrating to America, Canada, Brazil, Argentina. He wanted to keep them. And so he developed a welfare state system, you know, unemployment and health insurance, national health insurance, because he liked Germans and wanted them to stay. How things have changed.
Yes, indeed. Let's see, the Alien Enemies Act, this was under Presidential Proclamation 2526 by FDR. So we'll just click on this act here. And I lost it. The Alien Enemies Act. It remained in effect on the outset of World War I. So this is, this is very old. And it remains U.S. law today. It was recodified to be part of the U.S. War and National Defense Statutes. December 7th of 41, in response to the bombing of Pearl Harbor, FDR used the authority of the revised Alien Enemies Act to issue presidential proclamations. And then it lists all of his proclamations here. To apprehend, restrain, secure, and remove Japanese, German, and Italian non-citizens. Wow, what if we did that today?
Well, now that was what you just read, Mexico. Non-citizens, right?
Yeah.
There would have been like a relatively small number of non-citizens, but because immigration had been largely shut down in the mid-20s, and the German immigration was much higher in, say, the mid to late 1800s, you know, by the time World War II comes around, maybe people's grandparents speak with a German accent, but, you know, the younger and middle-aged generations of German Americans were completely Americanified.
Unless you had groups of Germans that were like pro-German.
Mm-hmm.
You know, American citizens or whatever that were pro-German, and they were, you know, getting the eye of Sauron upon them. You know, in other words, you know, that causing the government to, you know, drawing attention to themselves. That could have been what it was. What I was asking is, what if we did this today? You know, what if we had competent leadership that acknowledged that we had an invasion from the South, from South America and Mexico, right? And that they can enact that today.
Right. Well, I mean, talking about population changes, so I said it was like about we were at something like 160 million in the early 1940s, about 180 million in, somewhere about 190 million by the time of the 1965 Immigration Act. And so we've picked up about 140 million people since then. And about 100 million of them, at least 100 million of them, are post-1965 immigrants and their children. You've got probably another 20 million because of blacks, because the black population has doubled since then. And then the very modest increase in pre-1965 white people might add another like 10 or 20 million. That's about it. I don't know why I'm talking about that.
Well, the point that I was bringing up is that the Alien Enemies Act is still in effect today.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it could be recognized by by the government that we're being invaded by a foreign force, from South America and Mexico, you could deport all of the non-citizens under this act right now, legally.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point I was bringing
up. That's a point. That is a point.
Of course, it's not going to happen ever.
It's not going to happen. Ever.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, for those that are saying like, oh, we can't realistically deport these people or blah, 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 blah. Sure you can.
Well, anyway, we're at the break. We'll discuss it when we get back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we are back. All right. So just before the break, you were mentioning that there is actually a legal basis for deporting all these illegal aliens. Well, there ought to be, right? Now, of course, the thing is, we've got our demographic issues are partly because of illegal aliens, but there's been an awful lot of legal immigration that's come here since 65. And then you've also had, I mentioned, a doubling of the black population since 1965, whereas the white population through natural, birth and natural increase, it's only gone up maybe 20% or so in the past 55 years. I mean, it's barely increased at all. So I don't know. I mean, the thing is, Mark Collin and I were talking about this morning. I think we were. There are some things that could be done. I mean, one thing that has to be done is we got to just stop the immigration, although right now it is just pouring in and pouring in. And B, the people who are here illegally really don't have a right to be here, and that's got to be, the starting point for anything. But still, there's no going back to 1965 or whatever. You've got, they're just facts on the ground. There are all these people who are here, and you're not going to get rid of more than a relatively small number. And then also, there's like all these people now, especially you go out, there's all these, well, here's the thing. I talk to people that I knew from years and years ago, and I'm surprised how many have black grandchildren or mulatto grandchildren. It's just gotten, to be the thing. And I don't know what's going to happen, but here's something where we can tie it back into the whole Russia-Ukraine thing. It's possible that we really are on the brink of a collapse. And you look how fast the Soviet Union broke up.
Yeah.
And we're doing all this crazy stuff. Our society is completely destabilized with something called mass psychosis?
Well, it's the mass formation psychosis. It's the very reason why we could not, the government could not enact this Alien Enemies Act and deport all non-citizens, is because, you know, the media would go crazy and just come out with all these sad stories and manipulate the public on an emotional level, on a very basic, you know, junior high level emotional appeal. And they would film every Mexican family being drug out, and then the kids, the children. It would be horrible. You know, the public is so brainwashed into the acceptance of immigrants that it just never would be possible. Mm-hmm. But no, yeah, you're right. That's,
well, we got all this destabilization, and I hardly think it's over. And this war that the United States has insisted happen, you know, it's insisted it happened through its aggression towards Russia, this aggression, the expansion of NATO, moving all the weapons and everything. Well, it's causing a giant rift in, by sanctioning Russia and trying to sanction Russia to death, they're causing a second alternative world trading system to arise, that's going to be centered around China, not around Russia. But this is what's prompting it, by the United States doing all these things, like sanctioning the Russian central bank, kicking all these people off of, you know, kicking the banks out of the SWIFT system, forbidding MasterCard and Visa from any kind of international transactions involving Russia, like all this stuff. Going after crypto, the shipping, the sea freight companies, everybody's sanctioning Russia. Well, it's creating a massive opportunity for the systems that China has already developed to become rivals. And what you're going to have, a breakdown in trade. China is the most, I mean, what's going to happen to America, the American standard of living, if all of a sudden either we can't get Chinese goods or they're a lot more expensive? Everything's going to get expensive. It's very likely that we're going to have massive inflation, massive unemployment. We already had one big round of temporary unemployment. It's just going to get worse. And then what happens?
The Belt and Road Initiative, they can cut the West completely out. You know, if it comes down to that, and that's going to lead to the further fracturing of America. I mean, already you have many states that have passed, laws about mail-in voting. You got Kentucky here that have redistricted their the state. The lawmakers in Kentucky basically had taken the power away from the big cities in Louisville, Lexington, and Frankfort, so that they don't wield the power that they did before. And, different states are reacting to COVID differently. And they're basically just ignoring the federal government in a way. And then you have some states like California that are all in. You know, they're all in on sanctuary cities and mail-in ballots and all that. And I don't know, is this what the Soviet Union looked like in the 90s? Is this the type of fracturing that we can compare it to?
Well, I mean, some of these things, like the Soviet Union in the last couple of years, all of a sudden it was moving towards having real elections, right? Whereas we're moving towards having fake elections. The last couple of years of the Soviet Union, they were having real elections. They were having more.
Well, real quick, some of our states are moving towards real elections. Like, they're not adopting mm-hmm. the COVID, you know, they're not doing mail-in ballots. You know, some of the more conservative states.
Yeah.
So isn't that an apt comparison?
It may well be. What you had the last couple of years of the Soviet Union, even before it broke up, you had declarations of independence. You know, the three Baltic countries, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, I believe in early 1990, sometime around then, they just declared independence. Now, I went to, and it was ignored. You had a little bit of fighting in Lithuania. You cracked down, 14 people died, something like that. It wasn't even authorized by Gorbachev. But basically, it was like the National Assemblies would declare independence, and the government in Moscow would say, yeah, right. And everything would just continue. But then 2 years later, all of a sudden, everything really does break up. And things can happen very, very fast. And especially if – here's the thing. I mean, we've seen the truckers. We've seen how much anger there is and how much recognition there is that the governments like Trudeau's government, like, the Brandon R. Trojan government are just – they're completely ignoring the Constitution and might as well not even be our government anymore. And people are just losing their attachment to their idea of America. And how far are we from Kentucky is my country?
Well, I mean, we're there. I mean, basically people have said that here. But I want to make one more comparison. So, you know, when you have, breakup of the Soviet Union, you have a power vacuum. Well, who stepped into that vacuum? Well, the oligarchs, right? They bought up the means of production very cheaply, and they stepped into that power vacuum. So could we see that in America, where basically if the federal government, you know, does break up or they're not recognized as an authority, corporations move in and basically, I mean, they're ruling America anyway.
Well, the situation in the Soviet Union, there was an element that doesn't exist here. And the thing is, in the Soviet Union, everything was state-owned. All the means of production were state-owned. And so yet, there's two things that happened in the Soviet Union. One is these 15 constituent republics broke up and became independent from each other, which caused a lot of dislocation because they had been economically very, very integrated. But the other thing that happened, and it happened 2 years later, was this mass sudden privatization, which is something that, we might have something happen here, but all of a sudden, all of the property that was state owned, which was everything, you look around, everything was owned by the state, and all of a sudden that had to transform to being privately owned. And that's where the oligarchs, they didn't swoop in because they weren't oligarchs until they actually acquired this. But it was Jews who had connections both to the new Russian government and also to foreign capital. They were the ones who were able to, they were positioned to take advantage of it. The oligarchs, the people who became oligarchs, really didn't play a role in the breakup of the Soviet Union. It was a different chapter. The breakup of the Soviet Union was by politically ambitious politicians like Yeltsin, first and foremost, who had, you know, the breakup of the Soviet Union meant that they were going to be big fish in smaller ponds, and they wanted to be big fish, and they couldn't wait. The oligarchization happened later, and the United States had a lot to do with the oligarchization. The United States actually didn't have that much to do with the breakup of the Soviet Union per se. That was really an internal matter.
Different dynamics here. I mean, pretty much here. Well, here in America, you know, the government doesn't really own everything. It really is private. It has been privatized here for a while, but that, you know, private citizens owning things, that power has been transferred to the corporations. Case in point, a lot of landowners who are renting their properties,
mm-hmm.
and because of COVID and now because of prices of gas and food, they're going to lose their properties, and corporations are buying them up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are certain things that are owned by the federal government, and if you had a breakup, what happens? What happens to the national parks, right? And that's a lot of land.
They go to a corporation.
They probably would go to a corporation. What happens to the Social Security Trust Fund? You know, there. What happens to nationally owned, like Amtrak? What happens to ports? What happens to airports? So there's to an extent there's room for that type of thing to happen, but the United States is already really privatized and corporatized.
Interesting. Well, a couple of more things going on here. What do we got? A couple of minutes to the break.
Yeah, we got about 4 minutes.
Well, I wanted to bring up, among the many other things that are declaring their anti-Russian sentiments, CERN halts future collaboration with Russia. This is on livescience.com. Yeah, CERN's announcement comes on the 13th day of the Russian invasion. The European Council for Nuclear Research has announced that it will suspend Russia's observer status at its facilities and halt new partnerships with Russian scientific institutions following Russia's military invasion of the Ukraine. So add CERN to the list, you know.
CERN is like, that is like the atom smashing facility under the mountains of Switzerland. Is that what we're talking about?
Particle collider. I still don't know exactly what they're trying to accomplish there, but they're smashing atoms like there's no tomorrow.
I know what they're, it's all, ways of testing, general relativity and things like that. It's actually pretty cool. How practical is it? Does it really have a lot of practical application? It might have some, but mostly it's very, very theoretical.
Unless they're opening a new dimension, I don't know how it affects us, but, I mean, the point that I'm bringing up with the article is that this, just all of the, you know, Russia withdraws from the space program, right? Coinbase, bans Russian users. I mean, this is just going on and on. Like, the breakdown is what I'm pointing out.
So, like, when I was growing up, the Soviet Union wasn't part of any of this stuff. It had, like, its own completely parallel systems that the Eastern European countries and Cuba and North Korea were part of. And so you had the East and the West, and there wasn't a whole lot of interaction between them. When in the early 1970s, Richard Nixon, he did the Russian wheat deal, and I guess United States sold wheat to Russia, and in exchange, what did the United States get? Did they get vodka? I don't know what they got. So I don't
know.
Maybe oil. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But, you know, that was, like, compared to the way trade is now, really wasn't that, shouldn't have been that big of a deal, but it was considered a big deal. They were very, very isolated. And now they're much more integrated, and all of a sudden, you're going to disintegrate them, and there's going to be massive effects. On energy, Europe, and of course, Russia has become a big food exporter. So it's just all sorts of things, all sorts of mineral products. But more than that, it's going to destroy faith in and confidence in these systems. And if they can do it to Russia, who else can they do it to? Maybe they're going to do it to India. Maybe they're going to do it to China, try to do it to China. Well, China's really too big. And ultimately, I think a lot of these systems that are expelling Russia are going to they're going to self-destruct and be replaced by Chinese systems.
It's almost as if there's a deglobalization going on.
Well, we'll see. Hey, it might be a tremendous opportunity for us, but we'll be back right after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
We are back. All right, so what do we got to finish off the show?
SeekingAlpha.com. Kenny says Keystone XL pipeline could bring oil to the U.S. by the first quarter of 2023. Late Monday, Alberta Premier Jason Kenney referred to the Keystone pipeline when he said, during a disaster like this, national security and the interests of the economy must prevail. The oil pipeline connecting Alberta to Steel City, Nebraska was canceled under Obama, revived by Trump, and canceled again under Biden. Like most pipelines in the U.S. and Canada, Keystone has faced its fair share of controversy as opponents highlight that it would service relatively carbon-intensive oil sands production. Nevertheless, construction of the TC Energy pipeline had already begun when it was scrapped in early 2021. According to Kenny, he says that we could turn this around in less than a year. So there is talk in the media of the Keystone pipeline being reactivated. Would the Brandon Trojan administration do this, and would they need approval from Greta Thunberg?
My thing is, like, the pipeline, I just didn't get all that excited about it one way or the other. But under these circumstances, actually, I don't want it. I don't want it opened because I don't want, I don't want to enable it. I don't want to enable Americans to, be anti-Russia. I think that as soon as, it's all fun and games when it's just posting Ukrainian flags on Facebook. But, war to Americans has just been, you watch something on TV. Except for a relatively small number of service people who actually experience it. And I don't want that. I don't want a rerun of that. If they want to go LARP that the country's at war, then good. Let's have $12 a gallon gasoline, and let's have the everybody's 401ks get cut in half or more, and then see what you think. That's my attitude. Well,
it doesn't seem like our government is going to back off of these Russian sanctions. So, in response to Band-Aid, this hemorrhaging wound, I think that they are considering reopening the Keystone pipeline. That's what I'm getting from this article.
Yeah, and of course, and they very well may. But then, of course, for the Brandon administration and their base. One thing it'll do is it'll just show like how shallow everybody is, and they were all happy and gung ho to virtue signal on the climate, but now it's more important now they've had their firmware update and they want a virtue signal on Russia, and who knows what it's going to be next, what the next update's going to be. But we're out of time. Thank you for joining.
Blue bar. Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.